Great. If you have a Bible with you, you might like to have it open to 1 Peter, and we're going to look in a bit more detail at those verses that Avril read for us earlier on. But the question we're thinking about today is, how should Christians respond to authority? How should Christians respond to authority? We have lots of different types of authorities at different stages in our life. Sometimes, so when we're young, we have parents, we have teachers, there's the police, there's governments, there's coaches, there's church leaders, there's all sorts of authorities that sometimes we find ourselves under. But if we're Christians, how should we respond to all those types of authorities? And that's an important question that we need to know. Let's not forget that for a very brief moment during this year, you could have got arrested for going to church. I don't understand the reasons for that, but it still brings into that importance of this question. How, as Christians, are we to respond to authorities? In these verses that we're looking at, Peter tells the Christians that he's writing to. And then, of course, by the Holy Spirit and the authority of Scripture, he tells it to us too, that we are to submit for the Lord's sake to every human authority. If you weren't here over these last few weeks, we've been looking at this series, looking at the letter of 1 Peter called Traveling Through. And for the first part of that letter, Peter talks about the identity of these Christians. They had converted to being a Christian, and Peter spells out for the first chapter and a half who they are because of what Jesus has done. So that they've been given new birth, that they have been given, that they are made heirs to an eternal inheritance, that they are now citizens of heaven, and that together with the other Christians, that they are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that are belonging to God. And so Peter spends the first chapter and a half saying, this is who you are. And then because of who you are, then this is how you should live. And then the rest of the letter, Peter is describing instructions about how to live that out. But notice the way around that is, that Peter starts off by who you are and then goes to how you should live because of that. Because it's not what you do that makes you a Christian. You're not a Christian because you come to church and because you live a good life. No, you're a Christian because your faith is in Jesus Christ. And then you have this whole new spiritual identity, and because of that, you should then live out that faith and reflect the goodness of God out to the people that are around us. It's not what you do that makes you who you are, but it's who you are that leads to how you should live your life. And so then we come to chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. And Peter writes, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us." And so this verse is kind of the turning point between the first part of the letter, which is about who you are, and the second part of the letter, which is how you should then live. And Peter calls them exiles. And we see this word used for these Christians a few times in this letter. And it's a way of reminding them that their home is in heaven and that they are just traveling through this world. But on this journey, there are inward and outward battles. And so they are to abstain from sinful desires, and they are to live good lives among the pagans. Why? So that God might be glorified by how they live. These Christians are a small minority in their culture, and they're facing hostility. But by living a life of doing good, their unbelieving neighbors, co-workers, family, and friends might be won for Jesus. And so for the next few chapters, Peter gets practical about how to live life as an exile. And he talks about work. He talks about home. He talks about church. And he starts off by how, as followers of Jesus, we should live in a largely un-Christian society. So look at what he says in verses 13. He says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority." Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And this is the key verse. This is the big principle. And then he spends the rest of these verses just kind of applying that out into different situations. But as Christians, we are to submit. We're to respect. We're to obey the government and all forms of authority. Not so that we won't be punished by the governments for not obeying them, but so that God will be glorified if we do. I wonder how that sounds to you this morning. I wonder how that makes you feel, being told that you need to submit to governments and all authorities. I've taught on 1 Peter a few times, and there's normally a few kind of questions that people ask, or objections, and maybe you have some of these the same. But people will often say, but okay, I submit to authorities, but what about bad authorities? What about bad governments? What do I do in that situation? Maybe you're thinking Peter's view of government is a little naive. It's a bit oversimplistic. Because, I mean, what government in any form has a perfect track record of punishing those who do evil and praising those who do good? But Peter knows this well. The emperor, he says that we should respect, tells the emperor that he's talking about to respect in these verses is the Emperor Nero, who was famous for his debauched lifestyle, for his political murders, and his cruelty towards Christians. For Peter, submitting to the Emperor Nero would eventually cost him his life. So he says, no matter how bad your government may be, Christians should always be good citizens, because it acts as a powerful witness, because they continue to do good even when it is difficult. Look at verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. At this time, Christianity is still very new, and people are a little bit suspicious of them. You know, these Christians, what are they doing? You know, we don't really understand who they are. They were considered atheists by those around them because they had abandoned their traditional gods. And there were all sorts of rumors because they heard things like they have this thing where they eat the body and the blood of somebody. Like, are they cannibals? Like, what's going on? There were all sorts of rumors saying all sorts of terrible, slanderous things about these Christians. But Peter says that if you're a good citizen and you live a good life, then it will silence this uninformed talk. So for us, submitting to authority means obeying the law. The big laws, the small laws, the laws that we think are good, and the laws maybe that we don't see the purpose in. It means keeping to the speed limit. It means paying your taxes. But it also means, which can be challenging, is that we talk about our government with respect and honor. That we live our lives as being the best, most law-abiding, do-gooding citizens we can be, so that by doing good, we might win other people, so that we would transform society and bring glory to God. By the way, Peter's strategy worked. It took a couple hundred years, but within 250 years of him writing this, the emperor himself had become a Christian. This small, subtle way of living out faith does work. It does transform societies. But your next question might be, okay, submit to authorities, but what if I disagree with the authorities? What if I don't like what they're telling me to do? And of course, there are many ways that our government has departed from the Bible's teaching on many issues. Well, of course, we have options that Peter never had in the democracy that we live in. We can make appeals, we can protest, we can vote the government out if we choose, we can write letters to the paper, we can speak out, we can run in the next election ourselves. We can and we should do all that we can to ensure that our society is peaceful, that justice is for everyone, and that the church has freedom. But we do it in a way that is respectful and that honors those that are in authority. But your next question might be, but what if obeying the authorities means disobeying God? What if there's a contradiction where the government says this is the law, but yet God says this is the law? What do I do then? Well, God is our sovereign authority, and so we always need to obey him first. And in fact, we obey the government because we are living as servants of God. And in fact, we actually see an example of how this works itself out in Peter's own life. In the book of Acts, he and the other apostles are forbidden from teaching in the name of Jesus. But they disobey their religious authorities and keep obeying God and keep on preaching. And so then we read in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, the Jewish authorities say, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name of Jesus." It was illegal for them to do it. But in verse 29, Peter replies, "We must obey God rather than men. God says preach, you say not preach, but we're going to do what God says. We're going to disobey the authorities and obey God." But yet they still submitted to the authority of them, even in their disobedience. Because Peter and the other apostles are flogged, and again, they're ordered to stop preaching. But they took their punishment that they were given. In fact, they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for Jesus. But then they kept on preaching, knowing that they may end up in jail again or be beaten again. They obeyed God, they disobeyed the leaders, but they submitted to the punishment that they received for disobeying the leaders and obeying God. And for the Christians that Peter is writing to, there's a real reality that their faith might cause them to clash with authorities. And so it's crucial that in every other way they are model citizens, so that when they're seen for suffering, people will know it is for doing good, not just because they're unlawful troublemakers. But maybe your next question is, okay, I understand governments, but what do I need to submit to all authorities? Like, when I go to work tomorrow, do I need to submit myself to all those kind of authorities? Well, Peter says, yes, all authorities. And in fact, he deals specifically with work in these next few verses. So in verse 18, he says, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters." Now, of course, we hear the word slaves and we immediately think of how in the 19th century, how Africans were used as slaves in America. But slavery in first century Rome was not quite like that. It's probably a little bit more like domestic servants, although it did vary quite a lot. But it's probably closer to servant than it is to slave. And of course, depending on the master, some of them were treated very fairly. They were paid for their work. They played an important role in society. And they could even buy their own freedom. They were in their society, they were the cooks, the cleaners, the ones that worked on the farms, they made clothes and they taught. It was the most common form of employment in the ancient world. And so the application for us is for all of those who work for an employer. And Peter says that we are to submit to the authorities above you in your place of work. So that means obey your boss. That means talk with respect to them and about them. Now look, I know I've had some difficult people to work for in my life, and maybe you have too. That maybe you have experienced bad managers, bad supervisors that are incompetent, that are rude, that are overbearing. But Peter says, even if you have the worst boss, be the best employee in the place that Jesus has put you. Work hard. Be respectful to your co-workers. If you have people under you, be the best manager you can be. Do good so that others might see it and that they might become Christians too. But also be willing to suffer. Because being a Christian in the workplace means that sometimes you might need to say no. That no, I can't do that because that's dishonest to me. Or I can't participate in that because it's unethical for my beliefs. And you might need to say no. That might cause you to be excluded from your coworkers, overlooked for a promotion, or just you find the workplace has been made difficult for you to be in. But we're to submit to all authorities for the Lord's sake and even suffer. And look, I'm aware this is challenging stuff to all of us that Peter is writing. And you know, maybe you were dreading Monday morning as it was, and now it just made it even worse for you. You're like, oh, not only do I have to go to work, I've got to be nice to my boss as well. But our Lord Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us. Look at verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Whatever suffering you may have to face tomorrow, know that Jesus has gone before you. As you navigate your way through difficult authorities, we walk in Christ's footsteps. He gives us an example of how to endure being punished by unjust, corrupt powers. But of course, Christ is more than an example. He didn't just suffer like us, he suffered for us. In these next few verses, Peter quotes from Isaiah 53. Let me read verses 22 to 23. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Our difficulty with authorities, the failures of governments to rule justly, is all a cause of sin. Our failure as humanity to submit to God as God. Like sheep, we have strayed away from our shepherd. But Christ, in his love for us, submitted himself to the cross. He suffered the punishment that we deserve for our refusal to obey God, so that we could be forgiven, we could be healed, and live for righteousness. And now, by faith and repentance, we have returned to our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And if we follow in his, and we follow after him in his footsteps as he leads us to our heavenly home. We are exiles in this world. And as we travel through, our Lord, for his sake, asks us to submit to all the authorities that he has put into place. We're going to take some time now to pray and to ask that the Holy Spirit would help us to do just that. We're also going to pray for our governments as well. And just to say, if you have any questions that over anything that I've said, if you want to know what exactly some verse means, or you want to talk practically about how this might apply to your situation, then please do let me know. But let's pray together. Sovereign Lord, we thank you that you rule over all with wisdom, compassion, and justice. You raise up governments, establish authorities. All authority comes from you. But Lord, we confess that we have rebelled against your authority. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left your paths to follow our own. Lord, we are sorry. Have mercy on us and forgive us our sins. Thank you for sending your son Jesus. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When the scoffers mocked him, he did not retaliate. He did not threaten revenge when he suffered, but he submitted himself to your will and entrusted himself into your hands. And he did it for us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for suffering for our sins on the cross, so that by your wounds we could be healed, and so that we might die to sin and live for what is right. Send us your Holy Spirit, so that we will submit for your sake to all human authorities. Give us the grace we need to treat others with respect. Father, we pray for our government. Help them to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do right. Help them to govern with integrity and in truth. Give them wisdom as they continue to deal with the effects of the pandemic, and help them to act for the benefit of all the people that they represent. We remember too those who suffer today under corrupt regimes, especially our Christian brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith. Give them strength to endure and power to continue to do what is good, even in the midst of evil. Release them from their oppression and remove those wicked people from positions of power. Lord God, as we begin this new week, we thank you for the work that we have to do, whether it's in employment, education, caring for family, or volunteering. In whatever we do, help us to live as your servants so that you would be glorified. And we pray this to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue now in prayerful submission with our final hymn, number 552, Take My Life and Let It Be. And we'll stand as we sing.